Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. And this is Carl from Carl's Cavern. Usually we would do Down the Rabbit Hole with Rachel. That's sort of how this is set up because Rachel is with us and PC is with us. Say hello, guys.
Hello, guys.
PC?
I said hello, damn it. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
Well, that's all I'm saying tonight.
So, yeah, exactly. So we're going to do our special memorial to Gilbert Gottfried. Gilbert, of course, passed this past week. He was a very unusual comic. I should say at the beginning of this podcast that this is not PC, and you should be warned. And that's exactly what I'm doing right now. So I'm going to just take it over.
If you don't get offended, go away.
Exactly.
Gilbert Gottfried died?
Yeah, he did.
Fuck. Okay.
Just to start with, let's go over to either one of you. Let's go over to TC. Do you have any just first thoughts about Gilbert Gottfried, what you thought of him?
Yeah, I do, and we talked earlier, neither of us are real big fans of Gilbert Gottfried, but we certainly appreciate what he did. I mean, his body of work, there's only one Gilbert Gottfried. There'll never be another one like him. This is another celebrity. When celebrities die, it's weird because, you know, everybody gets reflective and some become fans that were never fans before. I mean, I'm still devastated about Taylor Hawkins. Hell, I'm still devastated about Tom Petty from 5 years ago. Gilbert Gottfried, you know, I mean, I always respect what he worked, but how am I going to feel a month from now? You know, I mean, but I like that we're really celebrating what he did tonight and, you know, looking at his career, which, like I said, mm-hmm. There's not going to be another Gilbert Gottfried. There never was, and there never will be.
And, absolutely.
Okay. That's...
How about you, Rachel? What were your basic thoughts?
Well, my big thoughts here, and again, I bring this up a lot to make fun of you old fuckers, but it really is relevant. I'm from a really different generation than you guys, and I grew up on Gilbert Gottfried being in the background of movies as, like, funny guy. So we all know my super, super huge undying love for voice actors. Sorry, I have the hiccups right now, guys. So my super huge love for voice actors. Gilbert Gottfried is an amazing voice actor. And yeah, it's pretty much the same voice all the time, but it just works. And also, he was in movies that, when I was a kid, were fucking hilarious and a little subversive, like the Problem Child films. I don't know if you remember those, you know, with the redheaded crazy kid. I loved those movies when I was younger. I loved them. They were like the epitome of high hilarity. And Gilbert was in those movies. And, of course, he was the voice of Iago from Aladdin, which was one of the first new Disney movies that came out when I was a kid. Like, it was the first, like, big Disney movie that came out when I was young. And so that was just, like, the fucking thing. And I've just always had this special affinity for Gilbert Gottfried. Do I think he's the most hilarious out there? No. But can he just, like, at something and just make me die laughing 100% every time.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I want to make a point.
Okay, let me go. Okay. I think TC basically had it. He's someone I appreciate, and in certain aspects, I think he was a master, and we'll get into that a little later. But for me, my intro to him was 1980 and SNL, and he was only on 12 episodes, of which I only saw two or three. I wasn't that impressed back then. But as you went on and you get to see him get to see how subversive he is, you really have to appreciate what he did. So we're going to start, I guess, with you, Rachel, and we're going to play a bunch of clips of Gilbert at his best. And so we're going to start with you, Rachel. Which one do you want to go with?
Well, you know, honestly, I'm not sure. You know, I would normally save this one for later, but some of the stuff that I have, I think, is even funnier. So I'm going to start with a basic Gilbert clip. Now, again, Carl, trigger warned all you fuckers. This is going to be an offensive show. I did not realize growing up how I did with Gilbert Gottfried, how adult he was. He was a very adult comedian. And if you're going to get your feelings hurt, you need to go away because he said something. He is the comedian that makes you feel bad about laughing at his jokes, but he's going to make you laugh. So you know what? I think I'm going to start with Gilbert Gottfried reads 50 Shades.
Okay, here we go. Gilbert Gottfried reads 50 Shades of Grey.
Audible.com presents 50 Shades of Grey, the erotic best-selling novel read by Gilbert Gottfried.
My inner goddess has stopped dancing and is staring too, open-mouthed and drooling slightly.
Hear it the way it was meant to be heard.
Keep still, he orders, and slowly he inserts his thumb inside me, rotating it around and around, stroking the front wall of my vagina. No fisting, you say. Anything else you object to? I agree to the fisting, but I'd really like to claim your ass.
Famed voice actor Gilbert Gottfried gives a reading that can only be described as sensual.
Holy fuck, is this wrong? But holy hell, is it erotic?
Let Christian Grey seduce you over and over again through the voice of Gilbert Gottfried.
But when he hits my clitoris, I cry out loudly. Oh, please, I groan. Quiet, he orders. Not taking his eyes off mine, he scrunches my panties in his hand, holds them up to his nose, and inhales deeply. His hands reach around and touch my breasts, and my nipples pucker at his touch.
Holy shit, this is hot.
Yeah. You know, I was going to say after when Rachel talked about him being a tremendous voice actor, you know, he did so many different things. I mean, I'm thinking of Family Guy and everything where he lent his voice, but he was never really typecasted. You know what I mean? He wasn't the ogre every time. He wasn't this guy or that guy every time. I mean, it was such a wealth of different type of characters in his voice, but it was always the same voice, and it worked in so many different ways, just like this. That's a
Absolutely.
Great pick.
Yeah, I'm going to follow this one up.
I can't say much. I got to finish burning one out after all that sex.
Okay, gotcha. Gotcha. So I'm going to follow this one up with a bit he did at the Atlanta NPR station where they mentioned that particular clip that we just but they couldn't play it. So they came up with something a little different. So here we go. I won't even say what this is.
So there's something very funny, I mean, let's say hilarious, outrageously funny on the internet now, a bit of college humor with you reading from 50 Shades of Grey.
Yes.
We can't air that. We could maybe the or and from that, but it is just sensational. We're an all-ages radio program, and we want to keep our license. So in the true tradition of public broadcasting, Gilbert, We'd love for you to read something considered outrageous and sensational from about 100 years ago. And of course it's British because, you know, that makes it classy. In your own voice.
Okay.
Would you treat us to something?
Now, I'll have to go sideways. Oh, that sounds dirtier. See, already. It's me, no matter what I say, comes out filthy.
Well, let's hear from Lady Chatterley's lover.
Okay. She found her scrap of handkerchief and was blindly trying to dry her face. Shall you come to the hut? He said in a quiet, neutral voice.
Oh, quiet
and neutral. And closing his hand softly on her upper arm.
Boy.
He drew her up and led her slowly to the hut, but not letting go of her till she was inside. Then he cleared aside the chair and table and took a brown soldier's blanket from the tool chest. Spreading it slowly, she glanced at his face. As she stood motionless, his face was pale, without expression, like of a man submitting to fate. You lie there, he said softly, as he shut the door, so that it was dark, quite dark.
D.H. Lawrence is smiling.
That's, I think he was thinking of me when he wrote this.
No,
it just,
as only
the thing
Gilbert
about Gilbert Gottfried is that it's the elongation of the words. So he took her to the hut, right?
Yeah.
And I can do it like he does, but it's goddamn hysterical. What did you guys think of that one?
I listened to that the other night, and I laughed my balls off. I really did. I mean, it's just he could take anything. He could read a phone book and make you laugh.
Oh, absolutely.
For the younger
people
in the crowd, there used to be a book that we got from the telephone company that had everybody's phone numbers in it. Okay, go ahead.
You know, I can't say a whole bunch because I'm having to burn a second one out after all of that sexiness, guys. I mean, I'm pretty sure that any time I've read a Harlequin romance novel, it has been narrated by Gilbert Gottfried.
Well, from now on, it will be.
That is, well, absolutely. Did you not just hear those two pieces?
After tonight's show, everything people will read will be in Gilbert Gottfried's voice. Guarantee you.
Yeah.
You're all fucked after this point.
Sometimes I do actually read books. A lot of times it's usually more my humor books that I read, but a lot of times I do read books in my head with a Gilbert Gottfried narrator.
Alrighty.
So I guess we're on to you, TC.
Yeah, if you're going to cut her off, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, well,
absolutely.
I'm sorry.
Don't you like how he does that, Rachel?
It happens to the best of us, doesn't it, hon?
Yeah, are you done talking, Rachel?
I'm never done talking, but
well,
go
I know,
ahead,
but,
TC.
But no, signify to Carl that you are done so we can move on to me. That little prick. Carl's
okay,
a fucking prick.
I'm gonna pass the sharing ball to TC now.
Thank you,
TC.
Thank you.
Would you like
are
to
you
share
cool
your feelings?
Yeah, are you cool
with
that, Carl?
Now?
Yeah, I'm cool with it.
I think asshole Carl showed up again tonight. You remember asshole Carl? I think he's back. Okay. Yeah. Whenever any celebrities die, of course, you know the tributes. Especially social media, everybody comes out kind, wonderful, blah, 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 says all this stuff about them. But my go-to guy, anytime anyone like this dies, is Howard Stern. And I have an interview. It's a Howard Stern's show right after the news was announced. and Howard Stern and Robin Givens talking about Gilbert Gottfried and some of his appearances. And I don't know if you're familiar with all the characters that Howard Stern has on it. What's he called? The Whack Pack. And one of them's Beetlejuice, who's basically a little black dwarf from New Jersey that Howard Stern made famous. But he's in this clip, too. But this is Howard Stern right after the passing of Gilbert Gottfried.
Here we go.
Gilbert Gottfried is dead. I was shocked to hear. I had no idea. And I have so many Gilbert memories that I can share with you. I always loved having Gilbert on the show. I'm reading this. Gilbert was on the show 122 times over the years.
Oh, yeah. He was on a lot.
I didn't know 122.
I wouldn't have guessed 100. But,
no.
Yeah.
I don't think we've been on the show 122 times. Gilbert started doing stand-up when he was just 15 years old, which always blew my mind because Gilbert was such off, you know, from what I knew, he was very timid guy, very kind of shy guy. And the idea that he would quit school and become a comedian at 15 just didn't fit with, you're like, where did he find the strength to do that? And he did well, and he landed a spot on Saturday Night Live when he was 25 years old. I'll play you this clip. This is a clip of Gilbert talking about how he didn't fit in on Saturday Night Live.
I hated the writers. The writers hated me. And to show it,
why?
There was one sketch they wrote that takes place at a funeral, and I was the body in the coffin.
Why? But why didn't you, like, why did you even bother auditioning for Saturday Night Live?
God knows. And then it was weird because I read other people's interviews about auditioning for that, where they said they were terrified and they hated everyone else in the room, and it was just driving them nuts. And I remember when I auditioned, I was like, I didn't even think about it. I was there. I wasn't even...
You didn't care.
Yeah. It didn't strike me as anything. I auditioned. They brought me back, and I auditioned again. And then when they announced to me, oh, you got the part, it also wasn't like...
You weren't moved by it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Gilbert. I mean, not much moved him. One of the early appearances on our show, it was so great. We started messing with callers right away. We put them back on hold constantly. One of the callers got pissed off, and Gilbert just kept talking over.
Listen to me for 2 seconds.
Yes.
All I'm saying is that
yes.
when you talk to
somebody,
you know, I can't get a word in otherwise. And I'm saying you're...
We're waiting.
Can I
please
say
tell us. Yes, go ahead.
I called Carl last week
and
told my car.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Okay.
Wait.
You know,
yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Listen to me.
Yeah. Listen.
Gilbert, I'm gonna do that logo for you.
Yeah.
You want the logo?
Okay. Okay.
Gilbert,
wait. Guys, talk to me.
Gilbert.
Talk to me. Hi.
Gilbert,
we're listening.
Hello?
Hi. We're on the air. K Rock. Hi. Hi. Yes. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Talk. 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 We're in a hurry. We have other calls to take. Come on.
Yeah, this is a great drop that Gilbert's responsible for. We had Beetlejuice on one time, and I was trying to impress Beetlejuice with who Gilbert Gottfried was, and Beetlejuice was having none of it. I tried to give all of Gilbert's credentials, and Beetlejuice was just in a bad mood, and he did not like Gilbert, and Gilbert got into it with Beetlejuice.
You obviously have seen Problem Child.
Problem Child.
Yeah. Well, how about Problem Child 2?
I never seen that. I never will.
No, and it's 3. That was on television. Aladdin.
Go for you, pal.
Yeah.
Hey, didn't you play a parrot?
Yes, I was a parrot.
Did you
in Aladdin, Beetlejuice.
Did you ever see Aladdin?
Never did. I never will.
Gilbert worked with Eddie Murphy.
Wow, go for him.
Well, goof for me or goof for Eddie?
Yeah, goof for you.
Goof for you. Gilbert was the quickest human being on the planet. When he would do Dracula Gottfried on our show, I would say to him, Gilbert, just do Dracula Gottfried. And, you know, you couldn't tell. If he wanted to do Dracula Gottfried, he'd do Dracula Gottfried. And I even said to him, you would be a hit on any sketch if you just did Dracula Gottfried.
Yeah.
But he didn't care. But it was so good.
Spread your legs open. I want you to spread your legs open now. And give me your kloogie. I want your kloogie now. Give me her cloaky.
My favorite scene is, it's from that old Dracula movie.
Listen to them, the children of the night.
That's it.
What music they make. A spider spinning his web for an unwary fly. The blood is the life, Mr. Enfield.
Wow. See, that kind of comedy only comes from a lonely childhood where you just sat in front of the TV and studied these things.
He could have probably done the whole script. You know, he knew these long monologues.
And I loved his Rabbi Gottfried character. He told me, this is the origin of it. This is him telling me how he came up with it.
Then when they weren't singing, then the voice would take on this weird accent that
right.
wasn't Jewish. It wasn't, it's like, when we sit here today amongst our beloved relatives.
It's like Dracula.
And yes. Our friends and our acquaintances through life.
Do you think they spoke that way because by speaking slowly, they could think of the next thing to say?
Yeah, exactly.
Right, and then they would break into song.
Yeah.
And that would make you laugh.
Yes.
Yes.
And so everyone, please stand.
At least let you sit down while
yes.
you're listening to that.
Yes, then everyone be seated. And then you think, oh, good,
he is dizzy.
I'm sitting for the rest of it. Now stand again. It's like an aerobic exercise.
Oh, so naturally funny.
Yeah,
Gilbert would tell me stuff like, yeah, I didn't graduate high school. I'd leave the house every morning. I'd go to the library and...
Wow, that cut off, but he showed a lot of what Gilbert, you know, did, and just different diversity, I might say.
Well, I mean, sometimes you just have to cut Gilbert Gottfried off because he's like me. He does not shut up. Like, I've got a couple of interviews that we'll play with him in a little bit that it kind of comes in the middle of the interview, and it kind of goes out in the middle
yeah.
of him saying something, but it's literally the only cut I can do because the guy just does not stop. I mean, he's very much like the supporting role Robin Williams.
Yeah.
Because he kind of had like one mode, which was always fucking on. But
yeah,
we're
going to
hear about that a little later, too, from one interview I have.
And I was wondering if that was one of the interviews you're going to play. So there are some very rare instances. Oh, I'm sure. Wait a second. We probably need to let Carl talk about that one, too. I'm sorry.
No,
on,
that's
Carl.
Okay. That's okay. I screwed up, so I'm being quiet right now. I'm good.
Okay, well, so there's some very rare instances that you can find, if you look, of Gilbert Gottfried actually using his real voice.
Yeah, I heard a few
and,
of those.
And the Howard Stern that I did not play today because I was like, you didn't label some of yours. I don't know what you're doing. Is actually a recording of him leaving a voicemail at the offices of Howard Stern. And so it's just him using his normal voice. So I didn't play that one because I saw you had some Howard Stern on there. I did, however, find in my searching, I found a clip on SNL. And it starts out with him using his actual voice. But when it gets to the end of it, you guys have to see. I swear to you, this is probably the beginning of the Gilbert Gottfried character. Because he did not sound like that on the day-to-day. That was him. That was his persona. And I didn't even know that until, you know, relatively recently. So... this is all Gilbert the whole way through. It's just not the Gilbert you're familiar with yet.
The clip we heard from Howard Stern for some reason cut off. he talked about being on Saturday Night Live. And he talked about how screwed he got. I mean, that was the year that Lorne Michaels left. And the show went to shit. And he got hired for it. And he talked about the first character, you know, he went in, auditioned, they brought him back, he got the part. He said, they hated me so much. My first role on Saturday Night Live was in a funeral scene, and he was the guy in the casket.
That was in there. You said that.
You're right. Sorry, I ran to the bathroom. I missed it. But anyways, yeah, Saturday Night Live did him no favors other than putting him kind of in a limelight where he could get discovered for other things.
Right. And see, I didn't even realize, and being as much of a fan of, you know, early SNL as I am, I didn't even remember that he was in SNL. But like you said, he was only in there for 12 episodes. But this is one of them. This is the Tobacco Growers Association, and I figured since we're all smokers here, you know, go ahead and give us a nod. This one's pretty fucking hilarious. I do also need to mention that everything Gilbert does is even funnier if you watch him doing it. He's very Jewish expressive.
Very physical,
like, so
comedian.
He talks with his hands and his head and his body. His tiny, tiny little body. He's a little gnome.
So
but
here
we go. Let's do a Tobacco Growers Association.
Hello, I'm Joseph Richmond from the TGA, Tobacco Growers of America, and I have some startling news for you about lung cancer. For too long now, the American public has lived under a gross misconception that smoking tobacco causes lung cancer. Well, we at the TGA deplore this, for it is deception, and tonight would like to make the real truth known. There is no denying that lung cancer is messy and inconvenient, but to blame it on cigarettes is specious and ill-founded. Can we really blame this for death? Let's examine it. We have the outer covering, paper. Paper is derived from trees. You don't see warnings on trees, do you? And in the belly, we have 100% pure tobacco straight from the earth, Mother Earth, where flowers grow and children frolic. And people think this kills. This is a delicate object. So weak, I couldn't crush it with my bare hands. Look at the way it fights back, huh? Some murderer. Clearly it is not the poor cigarette that causes lung cancer. It's the lung. Let's take a look at this lemon.
This is where he pulls out a model of fake lung.
It's got a cockamamie shape. It's way too little. It's filled with mucus. It's flimsy, it's clammy, and for the life of me, I don't know how anything gets in and out of that pathetic little hole. Really? If they work so well, why do you need two? It's clear where the fault lies. The lung has one job, get rid of a little smoke, and does it do it? No. The lung traps the smoke on purpose. Keeps it. My 7-year-old daughter's fan can blow a little smoke away, but that's too much for poor old Mr. Lung. This, as you can well understand, is a serious problem. And so the FDA has taken serious action. The lung must be recalled. So old persons with lungs shall send them to Lung. 30 Rockefeller Plaza, New York, New York, 10020. Persons without lungs need not worry. Thank you.
I never heard that before.
Can you see what I mean about, I'm pretty sure we just listened to the birth of the actual Gilbert Gottfried character.
Yep.
Because he starts out in his normal, like, completely unrecognizable normal voice. And then he devolves into the angry ranting. You can just see spittle flying from his face. That is who Gilbert Gottfried really made himself to be, because apparently he wasn't getting enough attention as his normal self. But surprisingly enough, I thought he was pretty funny straight-laced as well. It wasn't until recently that I even saw something like that. But it's so funny because I've heard the same thing about Fran Drescher, you know, famous for her and stuff like that. Surprisingly, that's just a character. That's not how she actually speaks.
Right.
For Adelaide from, like, Guys and Dolls. It's only funny if she talks like an ass.
But didn't it separate him from all the other comedians?
Absolutely,
you know,
100%.
He was just another guy before he developed that character that became basically almost his real life character.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly, and it worked so perfectly for so many different things that even if you're not a fan of his comedy, and I can understand, he's pretty fucking raunchy, to be honest, from everything I've looked at. But he's done some really family-friendly shit. Like, he's affected everybody. Like, everybody knows who Gilbert Gottfried is. And they don't. All you have to do is mention one or two movies that he's been in. Like, oh, he was the voice of Iago and Aladdin. And they're like, oh, that guy.
Mm-hmm.
But you also wonder how much his raunchiness and his controversies cost him as far as getting
roles.
Actually,
that will come up later with something that I have. But I think it's on to you guys now.
Yeah, it's Carl's turn.
Yes, it is. And I thought, at this point, I have some real short ones. So I'm going to do a couple of short ones here.
Okay.
Now, one thing I have to explain here is that this comes from a Comedy Central skit where Jeff Ross, who was the head of the roast that Gilbert was in, and a bunch of other people are dressed up as Jewish prisoners with the yellow star, okay? And Gilbert Gottfried is Hitler. And so Jeff Ross throws him a line, and he comes back with one of the greatest, most horrible replies I've ever heard. And if this one doesn't make your jaw drop, I don't know. And we're going to go here. This is only 22 seconds long, so check this one out.
I know it's awkward being here with Hitler, Ann, because you sold a lot more books than he did. But lately, his is getting way too popular again. Hitler, make yourself mind comfortable. You look nervous. Are you nervous?
Yeah, I think I left the oven on.
Wow.
Oh God! I hope I didn't lose any friends by laughing at that.
Yeah,
like I said earlier,
he's
gonna make you laugh, but he's gonna make you feel bad about laughing.
Yeah, exactly. Oh God! I gotta go take a shower after that one.
Okay.
Oh, no, you got to wait till we're done because ones, too.
Yeah, wait till you get into mine, too, there, Pally. Okay, Carl.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, one more that we're going to do. This comes from the 1991 Emmys. He was asked to host the Emmys, and he comes out and does this routine right at the beginning, and they immediately put every other time zone on a 15-second or 30-second delay, excuse me, because he comes out and does this at the 1991 Emmys, and I will tell you something. He was never asked back. And there,
no,
no,
that was his
why.
Last one. Yeah.
Believe it. because they're going to take up my time. Hi, I'm Gilbert Gottfried, Jerry Seinfeld stand-in.
Why do people watch TV? Who are these people?
I want to get something off my chest. You know, I'll tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I sleep a lot better since Pee-wee Herman's been arrested. Masturbation's a crime. I should be on death row. Masturbation's against the law. I should have been sent to the electric chair years ago. To think that by age 14, I was already Al Capone. Right now, I'm like Superman. You could put charcoal in my hand till I could crush it into a diamond. It's like if the police tried to arrest me, it would be, quick, stay away from his right hand. Your puny weapons can't hurt me. Please, only clap if you like masturbation. But, you know, now on to a category that can be described in a way that women have never described me. Long and hard.
Yep, that was his Emmy career in a nutshell.
Oh, and that's not even the worst of it.
No,
oh my God.
That was so mild. So mild. But not for primetime TV.
I was watching.
But that was at the Emmys. Can you imagine what they thought?
Oh my God,
you guys put them on a certain thing in the way for everyone else. They didn't know how to handle them.
What were they thinking having them there anyway?
Completely forgot while I was listening to that it was the Emmys performance. Oh, holy shit. We should have had that on our show a while back about the Emmys.
Yeah, like the greatest
host ever.
Disastrous
performances at the Emmys.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I thought it was hilarious, but holy shit. Who greenlit that? Oh, my God.
Well, who asked them on there in the first place? I mean, you got to expect something to come out of Gilbert Gottfried, you know?
I mean, they probably saw his stupid kids movies, like...
Yeah, it was 1991, yeah, sure.
So it was probably, I think that was like the year that Aladdin came out, maybe, and, you know, the Problem Child movies were like 80s, early 90s. So, like, he was popular for supposed family movies.
Well, no, everybody knows about masturbation.
Yep.
Gilbert Gottfried once again advancing society.
You know, that motherfucker, there's one thing you can say about him. He absolutely 100% went there.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yep.
He took it all the way. And
he was admired by other comedians for doing that. That he would go somewhere that they would love to go. You know, but they don't dare to go there. But Gilbert Gottfried, open that fucking door. I'm coming. I'm coming in.
Yeah. And I don't give a fuck. I don't care.
A lot of us, and what I'm up next, and a lot of his stand-up was basically, I mean, you know, he had great, great, great original material. Just laugh your balls off. But a lot of it was just telling old jokes in a way that Gilbert Gottfried could only tell them. In fact, I'm going to have three quick ones in a row. But Carl's going to hit stand-up one, stand-up two, and stand-up three. And some of them are jokes I've heard before, but, You know, anybody walking down the street could tell me this joke. I'd go, ha ha. But the way Gilbert Gottfried tells it, you know, you just bust your ass, you know, laughing. So go ahead, Carl. Let's hear some stand up from good old
okay.
Gilbert.
Okay. Gilbert Gottfried stand up part one.
An old man goes to the doctor for an examination. The doctor examines him. He goes, old man, I've got bad news. You've got cancer and you've got Alzheimer's. The old man goes, thank God I don't have cancer. An old Jewish man's walking down the road. He finds a lamp. He picks it up. He rubs the lamp. A genie pops out. The genie goes, I shall grant you one wish. The old Jew takes out a crumpled up map. He unfolds it. He goes, you see this part of the world? It's called the Middle East. There's been nothing but war and bloodshed there for centuries. I wish for you to bring peace to this part of the world. The genie goes, even with all my power, I'm helpless. Can I grant you a different wish? So the old Jew thinks, he goes, well, I've been married to the same Jewish girl for over 50 years. Never once has she given me a blowjob. I wish you could get us just once before I die. Then give me one good blowjob. And the genie goes, can I have another look at that map? A man walks over to his wife. He gives her two aspirins and a glass of water. She says, what's this for? I don't have a headache. He goes, good, let's fuck. A guy's in a bar. He gets so drunk, he pukes all over his shirt. He goes up to the bartender. He goes, you know, when my wife finds out I got so drunk, I puked on my shirt, she'll kill me. Bartender goes, don't worry. Here's a little trick. Take a $10 bill, slip it in your pocket. Go home to your wife, say some other guy got drunk. He puked on your shirt, and he gave you $10 to have it clean. And he goes, all right, I'll try. So he goes home to his wife and goes, honey, some guy at the bar got so drunk, he puked on my shirt, but he gave me $10 to have it clean. And the wife looks, she goes, this is a 20. And he goes, I forgot to tell you, he also shit my pants. You know, years ago, I was at a party, and I ran into Jackie Onassis, and I figured I'd play a little party game to help break the ice. So I walked over to her, and I said, do you remember where you were? And she just walked away. Boy, you talk about conceited. Luckily, Coretta King was at the same party. And I went over and I said, look, thank God he wasn't shot holding up a drugstore. And she said, you're right. Let's boogie. That's how she dances. You know, I read somewhere that Hitler
had a grandson who was a convicted child molester. Imagine being the embarrassment to the Hitler family. Is there anything worse than being the Hitler who the other Hitlers don't talk about?
Ah, oh, there you go.
Get out of my brain, TC. You know, that is one of the ones I didn't pick because I knew that for brief stand-up bits, like you had a few. And I was like, you know, I bet he picked that one. I bet he did. So I picked some really obscure shit.
One of the ones I liked that he had from Hitler, and I was going to include, I didn't know if anybody else did, where he was talking about, he said, yeah, I was having dinner. Well, no, it was with Manson. I'm sorry. Never mind. Did you get anybody do the one Manson one?
No.
Charlie? He says,
no.
I'm not going to do it in his voice, but I was having dinner with Charles Manson the other night, and halfway through the dinner, he said, is it hot in here or am I crazy? Just a little shit like that. Like I said, you know, I mean, he was a master at telling old jokes, but his own original shit was great too, you know. And
yeah, that is 100% true.
I don't know. Did you get the Jackie Onassis one? Because Carl and I, you know, our people our age, everybody remembers where they were when Kennedy was shot.
Well, I was about to say, I believe her name was Jackie Kennedy at that point, but yeah.
Yeah, but whatever. But I mean, you know, that's what, you know, everybody, that's why he says, do you remember where you were? You know, and just stop. And that was the physical comedy too, where he kind of points like, do you remember where you were? You know.
Oh, that is the thing. And his eyes never change. It's all in his mouth and body movement.
Yeah. It's always those squinty eyes. You don't know if he's looking at you or not.
But you know he's screaming in your general direction, and it's hilarious.
Oh, yeah. You know, the other thing is just, you know, joking about Hitler and joking about Manson and that. He's still in that places people generally don't go.
Yeah, they avoid those.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And you know what? That actually does bring up my next clip, which, as anybody may know, and especially more, you know, younger generations, even younger than myself and all that, Gilbert Gottfried was the voice of the Aflac Duck for like 11 years. And I remember when my mom's job got Aflac and the representative went out handing around these Aflac ducks with a voice box that if you smacked it, it was Gilbert Gottfried screaming like different Aflac. And all that. And, oh, my God, they were so coveted, and I never got one, and I am still salty about it to this day. But now that I have seen this, which I did not see until after he died, but this is a podcast that he was on, and it talks about him being fired from Aflac. And let's just say that I laughed at the jokes, but I totally get why they did what they did, but I still, he makes you feel bad about laughing, but let's do Gilbert Gottfried discussing getting fired from Aflac.
Here we go.
Now, I got to talk about your commercials, of course, now. There's many. MTV, Pepsi, Subway, Windows XP. And of course, there's Aflac.
Yes.
Now.
Why? Did something happen?
Aflac the Duck. You got to check Twitter. You're the voices of Aflac the Duck for 11 years.
11, yeah.
2000 to 2011. This has to be the easiest money. Do you go in just one time and you did the voice?
No, you have to come in each time and keep recording it.
Right, keep it fresh.
And yes.
Keep the duck fresh.
Each commercial sounded so different.
Right, right.
So what eventually happened, They fired me.
So there was a tsunami in Japan. You might have heard about it. Now, at the time, do you realize that Aflac does 75% of their business in Japan?
I found that out soon enough. Oh, yeah.
You think they could have told you that?
I done found that out.
So the Twitter account, @RealGilbert, oh, believe me, he makes it clear, too. Oh, it's real. Not
oh,
even
yes.
Joe Schmo, I'm going to have fun on this. It's me, Real Gilbert. He writes, Japan is really advanced. They don't go to the beach comes to them. What do the Japanese have in common with Howard Stern? They're both radioactive. What does every Japanese person have in their apartment? Floodlights. I just split up with my girlfriend, but like the Japanese say, there'll be another one floating by any minute now. I do remember he was tweeting so much, my light started dimming. Yeah.
See, but you notice when you're reading the tsunami jokes,
right.
Everybody here was laughing.
Yes, that's true.
And see, that's the thing.
That's what matters. You know what else?
Right, yeah.
None of us were getting $1 million.
Yeah.
And also, we waited a good 48 hours afterwards.
Oh, yes. Well, that always got me when they say too soon.
Why is it okay later?
Yeah, because it's like you can make a joke about the Titanic now.
Right.
And it's like I'm thinking, so if you make a joke about the Titanic now and you're a good person because you didn't do it back then you're saying, okay, I waited. Fuck those people who died on the Titanic.
I think the rule is as long as the Red Cross is still looking for money specifically for that disaster, you got to wait on the day.
Right. If the 800 number pops on the TV every other hour, who do you use for insurance?
Progressive.
So you can do
Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Are you're very versatile. You would like people to know that.
Allstate.
The Japanese jokes are hilarious.
I mean, okay, so I'm not going to lie. I did something in really poor taste a number of years ago, but it was also really awesome. So I'm totally with Gilbert on this one. I made some, like, nuclear hot salsa. And I called it the Hiroshima, not Hiroshima.
Nagasaki?
Yes, I called it the oh, fuck. It was the one that had the nuclear meltdown recently, and I named the super hot salsa after that, and hopefully it only goes to friends and family. But I really thought that was like a good, you know, that dude is crazy. He's gonna say some crazy shit.
Carl and I were talking earlier, you know, on the phone, and he brought up a two-word phrase that is always used with Gilbert Gottfried, and we'll hear it again in another clip I have coming up. Too soon.
Yeah.
And that's what he just tackled was too soon. And there has to be like, you know, like a 72-hour waiting period or whatever, except for Rush Limbaugh's death. We were all laughing about that as soon as that happened. But,
By the way, I remember now it was the Fukushima.
Fukushima. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So. But, yeah, he was too soon. I mean, and we'll hear it again with Carl, one of his clips, and we'll hear it on my clip, one of my clips.
But actually, the thing about it, and I'll say what is in those clips. Someone deemed him the king of too soon, which is absolutely correct.
Yeah.
Because he had no qualms about any joke or if it was proper or whatever. And there's something really brave and wonderful about that. And those are the comics I really do appreciate. You know?
Is it, you don't want to be the first one? And Gilbert Gottfried said, well, fuck it, I'm going, I'll go, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, nobody wanted to be the first one.
Last clip.
Yeah. So, is it my turn again? No,
it's my turn.
Okay.
So we're going to do two quick ones here. Now, on the ISF podcast, we have had a gentleman by the name of Mark Pirro, who is one of the purveyors, micro-budget purveyors of, like, really silly horror movies. And he has a real sense of humor. And he did a film called A Polish Vampire in Burbank that was then picked up by All Up All Night. And Gilbert Gottfried actually requested that he would be on and do the commentary. So this is a short commentary on our guest, Mark Pirro's Polish Vampire in Burbank, which was on Up All Night. So we're going to start with this.
Hi, Gilbert Gottfried, and we're watching A Polish Vampire in Burbank, the movie that was written by, produced by, directed by, edited by, and even starring Mark Pirro. And, you know, Mark, I've taken it upon myself to fill out a job application with your name on it. I filled out most of the important information, and I'll even supply a reference. Face it, America, please hire this man. He's got way too much time on his hands. He's semi-intelligent. Stop him before he films again. We now return to A Polish Vampire in Burbank on USA Up All Night.
Which, of course, he did a lot of those. But now we're going to have him sing us a song, and that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, 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 you fucking with the wet-ass pussy. Bring a bucket and a mop for this wet-ass pussy. Give me everything you got for this wet-ass pussy. Beat it up, catch a charge, extra large and extra hard. Put this pussy right in your face. Swipe your nose like a credit card. Hop on top, I wanna ride. I do a kegel while it's inside. Spit in my mouth, look in my eyes. Pussy is wet. Come take a dive. Tie me up like I'm surprised. Let's role play. I'll wear a disguise. I want you to park that Big Mac truck right in this little garage. Make it scream. Make it scream. Out in public, make a scene. I don't cook. I don't clean, but let me tell you how I got this ring.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good
we
God.
We might have made it through the night without hearing that one, but that was just showing
Daddy,
his diversity.
Daddy, Carl.
Just showing his diversity.
Did you really mean to make me bang a third one out on the air because that was like the third
yes.
sexiest thing I've ever heard in my fucking life. I mean,
yeah. Okay, Carl.
Good God.
Yeah.
So why not? That's a good one.
Yeah.
And this is why he's single.
Yep. It's why I'm single. What can I tell you?
Yeah. Well, you're just more diversity of this guy. You know, I mean, it's not like we're not just hearing him do a stand-up. And, you know, I mean, he's telling old jokes. He's showing. I mean, the guy has so much talent, and it spread that voice everywhere. You know, like I said, he wasn't pigeonholed because of that voice. That voice worked in so many different ways.
Oh, it
absolutely.
Really did.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So now I think we're on to you, TC.
Yes, we are. And another TV segment right after his death. It was Bill Maher was on Jimmy Kimmel's show. And I think this was like 1 or 2 days afterwards. And they got on to Gilbert Gottfried and they really talked about how they knew him, which they didn't know him at all. Well, Bill says, you know, it's quite interesting. So go ahead and hit that one, Carl.
Got it. That's for sure. I wanted to ask you about Gilbert Gottfried. He was on Politically Incorrect, right? I mean,
he could have been on that show. He certainly could not have been on Real Time.
No,
that
he would
have been a disaster.
Because there's no sharing a stage with Gilbert. He becomes the focus.
Well, it's funny because I was going to this. You know, I think you know I do a show every New Year's in Hawaii.
Right.
I've done it for 11 years now. He was booked on my tour this year.
Oh boy. Did you know him well?
Well, that's the thing. I've known him for 40 years. Never knew him well. He was a hard guy to get to know well. I mean, he was so funny and so always on. When I spent, I don't know, hundreds of hours with the guy, but it was always sort of like joking.
Always. Never answered a question seriously.
Kind of that way.
Yeah.
There are people I know an hour that I feel like I know better than I knew Gilbert. But I thought, here's the time. That's what that Hawaii trip is for.
Oh, you were going to spend that time?
Well, it's 4 days. Uh-huh. You know, we're on the beach. There's orgies. No, but yes, I mean, you know, it's... I
feel the same way about him, and it always made me feel kind of, I don't know, odd when I would ask him a question. He never would give you a real answer, and in a way, it felt like the message was, why would I answer this seriously when I could be funny right now?
Exactly. And that's one thing. And maybe it never would have happened. Maybe we would have just kept that persona up in Hawaii. I could see that.
I'm sure he would have, yeah. I'm sure he would have. You never would have gotten through to him.
Maybe not. But, yeah. You know, it was worth a try. And if not, then I would just had 4 days with Gilbert. And
laughing at Gilbert.
Laughing
yeah.
at Gilbert. And so, you know, today, I mean, comics, we're all sending messages to each other about it. And he was the king of too soon.
Yeah, yeah.
The king, I mean, he lost his Aflac gig for it.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, he got into a world of trouble after 9/11. He was at some roast.
I was there. I hosted that roast.
Is that right?
Yeah. It was of Hugh Hefner. I'm shocked that you weren't at that roast now that I think about it. But at that time, it was right after 9/11. I mean,
yes.
The week after 9/11, we taped that. And no one was obviously joking about it. And then Gilbert gets on stage and says some of the craziest stuff.
Who would be so stupid as to get fired for saying something about 9/11?
I did it for you, Jimmy, so you
can
have this time.
Thanks
slot.
Again for doing that. Eh? But like, I wanted to come up with some really inappropriate thought or something to say about him dying, because that's how he would want us to handle it. And I felt I really let him down by not being able to come up with something totally inappropriate.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that was his, you know what, I don't think he did let him down, because I wish he could hear all these things that everyone is saying about him, about how funny this, he was truly one of these guys who was a comedian's comedian, where you go like, oh, this is a guy who really, like, when he told that aristocrats joke at the, I mean, He told a horrible 9/11 joke that the audience was booing him. It was like, oh, no, we're going to have to save Gilbert. And then he transitioned into the filthiest joke that was not well received at all for the first, like, 6 minutes. But the final 6 minutes were, people were crying.
Right. No. I just feel, one thing I feel good about is that not knowing he was going to go, in my piece at the end of Real Time on Friday, it was about comedians.
I saw that.
And I mentioned him.
Yeah.
Because it sort of took off from the slap at the Oscars, but it was saying we have to end this war on jokes. It's not just the Oscars. This has been going on a while now,
mm-hmm.
that comedians are in the crosshairs, canceled. And I mentioned, you know, he and Kathy Griffin,
mm-hmm.
they were tasteless. And that's why we liked them.
Right. That's the point.
And lots of other people who have had to go away. And so I'm glad he got a shout out. I don't think he was probably able to hear it. But, you know, if I was a religious person, I would say, you know, he kind of knows. But I'm not, so screw that.
Bill Maher is here. His special adulting premieres Friday night on HBO. We'll be back with more. And
yeah, that's where it came from, where you and I were talking earlier.
Yep. The king of too soon.
The king of too soon.
Yep.
Yep.
Get out of my head, TC, because I knew you were going to play that one.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
every
so
one of
I
them.
Did not play that one. I almost did, but I was like, no, no. So, yeah. No, and I like people talking about the person that Gilbert Gottfried was, which Bill Maher did a little bit, like talked about him kind of personally. Like, he was always this persona, but even his persona was like a super cool dude.
What I liked about both of them, they're just so real, because like when people die, they're like, oh, he's a wonderful guy. And they're just like, I didn't know him. You know, I've been with him 40 years and I did not know him. And what better way to describe how Gilbert Gottfried was? You know, I mean, you hear the Hollywood insiders, what people are like behind closed doors. Here's a guy, Bill Maher, that knew him for 40 years but didn't know him, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he was one of those ones that never made it into the tabloids and stuff because he stayed away from that shit.
Yeah.
I need to bring something up real quick. In 2018 or 2019, there was a documentary on Gilbert. It was just called Gilbert. And it was basically his wife and his two kids, and just show his regular life. Certainly there was comedy in it and bits of his comic routine, but it showed a real person that didn't want the spotlight, that wanted this part of his life to be private. And you could tell. And I think that's a wonderful thing that we have someone who was so recognizable by his voice, by everything he did, and yet still had a very private life that he sequestered and kept away from other people, because that was his and that was his family's, and he didn't want to mix the two. And I think that's a wonderful thing.
It certainly is. I know, I always, like, with celebrities, I don't care. You know, I mean, they you know, you hear every little fucking detail about them, and, you know, sometimes it's just, it taints how, you know, what you feel about them as a performer. You know,
shit
going on now with Chris Rock and who was the other black guy, Will Smith. You know, now we're in all this stuff. So now every time I hear Chris Rock, you know, because there's a couple things I really like by him, now am I supposed to be, oh, my God, that's the guy that got slapped. You know,
I saw something recently, and it was the most poignant thing I've seen about all of this shit. And it said, look, if what a person does in their personal life affects the way you view did for their job, like as in acting or anything like that, you were never a fan of their work. You were just a fan of the person. Like, I can still admit that, you know, all of Kevin Spacey's movies that I've seen are fucking fantastic.
Sure.
Do I want to support him in the future? No. No, I don't. But
hey,
that doesn't mean I can't say he's fucking great.
I grew up an O.J. Simpson fan. End of discussion.
Yeah. Because I grew up in the O.J. Simpson trial times. So,
yeah, well,
yeah,
I watched him play live for the Buffalo Bills, you know, and I always joke, I said, O.J. Simpson is still my favorite Buffalo Bill. I don't care how many people he killed. There.
You know,
and that's
what
Gilbert avoided that. So Gilbert avoided that. But he had a happy marriage, a happy family life. You know, And of all people you think would be controversy, you know, in real life and everything, would be Gilbert Gottfried. But he did such a good job of separating that from, you know, private to his work life. Okay. Carl, it's your turn.
Yeah, I guess it is my turn, isn't it?
And maybe since Kimmel gave you a segue.
Yep.
Kimmel gave you a segue.
So what we're going to do now for me is we're going to do a nice little bit of craziness here. I'm going to do one here. Now, we talk about his family life. Oh, we've got a honking horn outside. Sorry, guys. So we'll get to this. This comes from Weird Al's children's show. And he's talking about imaginary friends. It's one of the funniest things Gilbert ever did.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with having an imaginary friend. In fact, I still have an imaginary friend. I call him Gilbert.
That's my name. That's my name. Why wouldn't you call me Gilbert? That's my name. My name's Gilbert.
And even though Gilbert is imaginary, he's always there if I need someone to talk to or a shoulder to cry on.
I told you 1,000 times, I'm not imaginary. I'm real. You see me? I'm real. Look, you want identification? Here, here, anything you want. You want a driver's license? You want ID? You want a birth certificate?
Hey, maybe we could say hello to Gilbert right now. Oh, Gilbert.
I'm here! I'm right here! I'm right in front of you!
If you could only hear what he's saying to me right now. He's such a joker.
Okay, that's it. I'm out of here, because you're a nutcase.
Who could that be?
Oh, that's okay. I'll get it.
I love it.
I mean, think about the juxtaposition of Weird Al Yankovic and Gilbert Gottfried on a children's show.
Think about those two just hanging together in general.
Yeah, really.
Say, because Weird Al is tall and skinny with, like, really long, kinky hair. Gilbert Gottfried is short and... He's not fat or anything, but he's a little stocky feeling, with short hair, and they have just like they're just complete opposites, and that was so funny. Just imagining what was going
cool.
on. I want to see this video.
Oh, you can see it. Just it's on YouTube. Just put in Gilbert Gottfried and Weird Al. It'll come right up. It's hysterical. Okay, I guess we're back to Rachel.
Okay, well, this is going to be my long segment, and I'm sorry, guys, but it really does give you a feel for who Gilbert Gottfried, the character, was, but also kind of who he was as a person and a man. Now, I don't watch reality shows. I've never even seen this show in my life, but I saw this clip when I was looking him up, and it is fantastic. It's a little long, but Gilbert Gottfried, oh my God, and he really does go there with people in real life. So you'll probably get what I'm talking about after we listen to this. He makes some jokes to the former Cheeto in Chief. So, yeah. Gilbert Gottfried on The Apprentice.
Here we go.
Are there any questions?
I'm wondering why we have to stand outside in the freezing cold when we could be in a warm office somewhere.
Do you believe in global warming?
Oh, yes.
And does anybody have any questions?
Yeah, can we go inside, please?
Yes, you can.
Yes.
You know, Kevin, my daughter's icon, when she was 9, she wanted to marry him.
If I may say I wanted to marry you, too, I have a picture of you in my bedroom.
I would only hope so.
I think everyone is kind of wondering what contributions I'll be making and if I will screw it up. I can't really tell. I have a guy, a friend of mine, a carnival guy, who'll stand outside and swallow fire.
Get him.
And I've got... a Howard Stern look-alike.
Gilbert, my man. He's a breath of fresh air. I think he's my most favorite guy of the group.
My man Gilbert has got it down.
We were making pies with Geraldo's face on it. Basically, it looked like Geraldo on acid, but I was working. It was right up to my intellect.
You're doing a good job.
I am?
Yeah.
That's the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me. I should have worked in a pie factory. I know I missed my calling.
Gilbert is an interesting man. I'm not so sure how much money he can bring in, but he makes you laugh.
I just wanted to tell you it's time for your prostate exam. If you could bend over. I have very little fingers.
Bloody hell.
Okay, it's getting late. Why don't you give out...
In other words, get away from me.
No, I love you. I love you. I just, we got to keep you busy. Go supervise the wounds.
He loves me. He really does. Geraldo told me to supervise the balloons. I don't exactly know how you supervise balloons. Hey, you, get those balloons up there. The three of you, stop slacking off. I'm here to supervise balloons.
Wait a second.
20,000.
20,000!
He doesn't look like someone who eats pies.
Sure.
Her mother had an affair with a rooster. The creature from hell. The half woman, half chicken.
Gilbert was bringing all types of entertainment out of the woodwork.
I brought Laurel and Hardy back from the dead.
From girls to a Howard Stern lookalike.
Howard Sternish.
Howard Stern light.
To Joe Piscopo. It was like he had just a bag of people just to keep the entertainment going.
It's not a charity. I'm actually working in a pie store.
What did you think of Geraldo Gilbert as your project manager?
I thought he did a great job, unless you thought he did a bad job, in which case, he was terrible.
Oh my God.
I'm not sure how I felt about his Puerto Rican side, but his Jew side I was with 100%.
How did you find Gilbert? You know, he's a different kind of a guy.
I thought at first he was going to be like Mr. Magoo, kind of like blindly bumping into walls and, you know, going in, phasing in and out of character. But I must say, when push came to shove, Gilbert Gottfried really stuck up to the plate. He really did. He got celebrities there. He got checks there. He's a surprising and easily underestimatable person.
Where is that message?
Gilbert, take down your voice a little bit. Less screaming, more frustration, okay?
You're doing a great job, man.
And action.
Where is that message?
Cut. Gilbert, it's perfect.
Gilbert, I'm proud of you. That's good, Gilbert.
Thank you, mein Führer.
Only Gilbert can say that.
Only Gilbert can get away with it.
I already have an idea for a commercial. It's me in the hotel renting an adult film, and it ends with love yourself.
Yeah. This tastes fattening.
That would actually be a good slogan.
260 calories.
I want a nice, healthy Passover dish. And I'll say the Passover prayer.
Part of the criteria is to bring something entertaining and funny. And so we thought Gilbert gives us the best chance at that.
You want to leave him smiling. So you think Gilbert should do the dessert?
Either way, it ruins dinner. Everyone was writing a little pitch.
I know what I'm going to write.
Me, I can't prepare. I can't do homework.
My girlfriend is so fat.
When they come, baby.
Gilbert likes to just improvise.
There's no time to look at porn.
This character here, boy.
He just doesn't really have a filter.
Hey, can you show me the black handshake hug thing?
And yeah, it's all funny, but it's gotta be funny for the right crowd.
I'm in the hood. I'm in the shizzy. That would be whack. I felt like I was being pressured to say something about my kids.
but they've never tried this product. So I'm just going to go off and whatever pops into my head, I'll say. And when has that gotten me in trouble before?
I really think we had this task well in hand, and then Gilbert starts.
Now we're presenting Luvo's strawberry frozen yogurt, and I assure you, it tastes fattening, but it's not. Now, I have two children, and I look at them every day as a miracle. The miracle is a woman had sex with me twice, so in your face!
I wish I had a hook. If I had a hook, I could have saved the day.
A woman can have, like, that low self-esteem. So don't worry, sir, it can happen for you. I think I did great. If I got one laugh out of that crowd, then I feel like I did a successful job.
Was Gilbert good?
I mean, we never really know what to expect from Gilbert, but he's been definitely our entertainment value for a number of the tasks. So, as I've said, Gilbert is Gilbert.
Secondly, they thought that Gilbert's humor wasn't necessarily appropriate for a family brand.
That's shocking. Gilbert, I'm shocked.
It's like I'd like to stay, but if I have to go, then I have to go.
You know, I can't fire you for being inappropriate.
Yeah.
Because I'm inappropriate. I do many things that are totally inappropriate. And you know, I think you're terrific.
Thank you.
And I think a lot of people are going to like you a lot more than they liked you before. You know that, right?
Thank you.
Gilbert, you're fired.
Do your handshake.
You got to do it.
The words, Gilbert, you're fired, I have heard several times in my career. And knowing me, I'll probably hear them a few more times.
So, Gilbert, I think you're great, but do you think we made a mistake in bringing you onto the show? You sort of gave up at the end, and I was a little surprised at that.
Well, I gave up because I'm going through menopause.
Gilbert, who should win?
I think you should break down in tears and say firing me was the worst thing
I
ever.
I think so. I do think so.
And I mean, Geraldo's great. He'll tell you himself. Thank
Talk
you.
To me about being part of the experience.
It was wild. The best part of it, of course, is after I was fired. Being on it, I don't want to have to work. I didn't go into show business to work for a living. That's why I'm in show business. So being fired was wonderful.
Yeah. I didn't think he would survive as long as he did on that. Seriously.
I have no idea how long he did, but it seems like a bit, like when you watch the video. And it is a lot funnier when you see what they're doing in context to what he's saying. When he's trying to draw Geraldo's face on pies, it's just like a whole bunch of squiggle marks. It's great. But you see, even though it is, you know, on camera, him being a little bit more candid as the Gilbert Gottfried character, he's still a really cool person, but everybody's like, I have no idea what the fuck to do with this guy. Like, he is an entity. He was his own fucking universe.
Oh, absolutely. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. So, TC, what did you think of that?
As grating as Gilbert Gottfried's voice is, hearing Cheeto Jesus, Trump, boy, I just, God, I hate that man. Anyways, what was cool about that is, and I'm going to have a little, my last segment's going to really emphasize it, is this guy doesn't need a script. He can do, he's just, well, like Bill Maher said, you know, he's just funny. They can't, you know, you can't, he can't be serious about anything. And It's so cool. Just everything that comes out of his head, just spontaneous. Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many comedians or actors out there that just can't do that. You know, they would just completely bomb and just not, you know, can't be funny on demand like Gilbert Gottfried was. So, and that was a good example of it right there. Yeah. Because he didn't know. I mean, he goes on the show and he just, all right, tell it. You know, he didn't have anything prepared. So that's the beauty of this man.
You know, and that little clip I did with him as Hitler, and that was all off the cuff too. And they had no clue that was happening. I mean, amazing. The man really did know how to do extemporaneous stuff. Now,
yeah.
I'm gonna deal with a clip here, and you think about what comics talk about and what they make jokes about, and generally, you know, you talk about things like you know, going to the airport or your wife or your, you know, whatever the case would be, but how many people would go off on a whole routine on Moby Dick? Can you think of anyone that's ever done a joke on Moby Dick? A whole routine? No. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to do Moby Dick from Gilbert Gottfried.
You know, once I was talking to Herman Melville, and he said, I'm writing a book called Moby Dick. It's about a guy in a boat. Do you think it needs something? And I said, offhand, a whale. And he goes, what do I need a whale for? I don't know. I've thrown a whale and a one-legged sea captain. And how did he lose his leg? I don't know, the whale bit it off. So what you're trying to tell me is a tiny little sea captain falls into the ocean and a gigantic whale with an enormous mouth swims up to him and he nips one leg off. He turns his head, looks at it, and nips one leg off. He's a sea captain the size of a Rice Krispie, and he falls in the water, and a whale with a mouth the size of LaGuardia Airport swims up, and he nips a leg off. I guess he just wasn't hungry that day. And how is he able to live if, I don't know, the other sailors save him. So this tiny little sea captain falls into the ocean. An enormous whale with a gigantic mouth rips his leg off. And a group of sailors who don't have a kindergarten education perform microsurgery and save his life. And I said, well, I can't write the whole thing for you.
And that's one that you gotta see the YouTube clip of it, because again, the physical comedy of it, you know, showing a little to holding his fingers, a little tiny sea captain, and how he does the mouth thing and then nips the leg off, you know.
It just the corner of his mouth.
Yeah.
Yes, that is hilarious, but also I have to say that that specific live piece, if you get the full clip of it, ends with him doing an impression of Jerry Seinfeld.
Yes.
As Hamlet.
Yeah.
And it is fucking priceless. He does the best Seinfeld impression I've ever seen.
Well,
and it's,
you know,
so funny.
Oh, I know. We already heard a little bit of Seinfeld on there.
We did. So I was going to bring that up.
This is the thing about him, too. You know, he's standing in front of the microphone. He goes, I was talking to Herman Melville the other day. I was having dinner with Charles Manson. I met Jackie Onassis at a party. You know, just the intro to everything.
Thank you for bringing that up.
What's gonna follow? You know, I mean, all right, where are you going with this one? You know, and it's just that he had the element of surprise whenever he said stuff. One of my favorites, and I tried to find it, was Kurt Waldheim. Remember the UN ambassador, UN general, secretary general?
Yeah.
And there was a whole thing about him being a Nazi sympathizer that came out, and that was actually the end of him being the UN secretary. And Gilbert Gottfried did a thing on him. And, okay, picture me doing the Heil Hitler salute, okay? And he said, this is how it came about. Kurt Waldheim was watching a parade come by. And there's a guy standing in front of him with a camera saying, Kurt Waldheim held up his hand. He says, stop. Don't take a picture of me right now. You know, and that was the famous picture, Kurt Waldheim doing the Heil Hitler sign. He's like holding his hand up going, stop. Don't take that picture. Just, you'd have to see it. Again, the physical comedy of him.
Yes, and that was a big part of it because, again, I bring this up because, like, he was a very tiny man. He was shorter. You what?
No. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Like, he was shorter than, I think, at some points, even the children he acted with in movies.
Yeah.
But he had just this like powerful presence that was so funny. He could play good. He could play evil. He could play exasperated, angry, happy, funny. I mean, he was so versatile. And we all know that I have a deep love for voice actors. So, it's really sad that I'm not going to hear him being any more characters in any kids shows in the future because, you know, I still have kids.
Just with that physical comedy, I mean, you watch his stand-up routines. The very beginning of it, when he walked, just the way he walks out to the microphone, and he stops like maybe 6 feet away from the microphone. He's like reaching out for it. Nowhere close to it, you know, just that little physical comedy of him trying to grab the microphone. It's incredible. He was a great physical artist, comedian.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he certainly was.
Well, we're going somewhere else that here, if you are easily offended, and it's a good time to leave. But one of the things that Gilbert Gottfried loved doing was the celebrity roast. And he said before, I saw an interview with him, he said he loves doing roast because he can stand up there and totally annihilate somebody. And they have to stand there and sit there and nervously laugh like they're a good sport. He loved putting people in those positions. He slammed Roseanne Barr in one big time. But this roast we're going to hear was actually one of his best friends in life, George Takei, who we all know, very openly gay guy. But he did a Friars Club roast, and I'm sorry, I forgot to look to see what year it was.
Wait, stop. George Takei is gay?
Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, I just found out tonight Gilbert Gottfried's dead. We're learning a lot of things here tonight. Gilbert Gottfried's dead. George Takei is gay. But anyway.
This is an educational show now.
Yeah, it is. Okay, this is kind of long because he just, and again, this is where Gilbert Gottfried, like I said, he is a two-part stand-up comedian. He had his original material, plus he told old jokes. And I knew most of the jokes he's telling about George Takei, but the way he tells them, I never heard them this way before. So, Carl?
Okay, here we go. George Takei roast. Oh, definitely not suitable,
you
but wonderful.
You love him. Will you please welcome Mr. Gilbert Gottfried?
Give it a little volume, Carl.
Preparing, but I did today. There'd be more faggot jokes than usual. Usually it's just old jokes, but now I got a bunch of old faggot jokes. And you know about being an old faggot. Three fags are in a hot tub. All of a sudden, a big blob of semen floats to the top. One fag turns to the other and says, "All right, who farted?"
Volume, Carl. Turn it up a little.
He's driving in his car. He crashes into another car. He gets out of his car. A fag jumps out of the other car. He goes, "Look what you did to my car. I'll sue you for $10,000. He goes, $10,000? You can suck my dick. He says, "Well, you want to settle it outside of court?" Thing they look at when a fag. He looks up his ass and he finds a bouquet of flowers. And he says, "I don't know where these came from." And the fag goes, "Why don't you read the card?" A Hebrew.
all up. How do you know you're at a gay picnic? All the hot dogs taste like shit. When they go to a picnic, they shove hot dogs up their ass. I don't know. This would mean at a straight picnic, it would taste like pussy if we're going by the same line. All I know is I want to get to a picnic right away. What's the difference between a refrigerator and a faggot? A refrigerator doesn't fart when you pull your meat out. It's a guy's first day in prison. He's crying, he's scared, and all the convict walks over to him and goes, "Kid, that prison life's not so bad. Let me ask you something. You like baseball?" He goes, "Yeah, I like it. Every Monday we have a big baseball game in the yard." "And you like movies?" "Yeah, I love them." "Every Tuesday we have a big movie shown in the auditorium." "And you like baseball?" "I love it." "Every Wednesday we have a big baseball game." "Let me ask you one more thing. Are you a homosexual?" He goes, "No." He goes, "Ooh, you're not going to like Thursday." Now, George, you're sitting there going, "Why wouldn't he like Thursday?" What, they hold him down and fuck him in the ass? What's not to like? One guy's fucking him in the ass, the other guy's coming in his mouth. How would he not like a thing like that?
All righty.
Yeah.
Everybody's still with us?
Yeah. I mean, how is the guy responsible for one of the cleaner versions of the Aristocrat?
We'll be getting to that. But you know what? I want to make a comment here. For all that offensive as that is, okay, you could tell that it's not done in anger or anything like that.
No malice.
You know, yeah. There's no malice there at all. Okay?
And that's the wonderful thing
about it.
If you watch the video, George is sitting there crying. He's laughing so hard. You know, I mean, everybody is. Well, you heard the audience. I mean, you know.
Right.
It just turned, like when he turns, he goes, George is thinking, what's not to like about that, you know? And they're best of friends. At the end of the roast, I mean, they do a big hug, and you tell it's not a fake hug. But he got away with it. He got away with doing things like this, you know? You wouldn't hear Seinfeld up there telling jokes like that or anybody, you know?
Yeah, but you won't hear Godfrey up there telling jokes in a Seinfeld voice, and it's amazing.
Oh, I know. But I don't think any of my gay friends, you know, knowing the situation, George Takei, Roast, would be offended by any of those. They would laugh right along with everybody else.
And to be honest, all my gay friends and people in that, I've told that one about the barstool how many times. I love that joke.
Well, let's see. Like I said, he takes jokes that we've heard many, many times. Probably like half of those I had heard before. The prison one's hilarious. I never heard that one before. But, you know, you hear him and you laugh, but to hear Gilbert Gottfried tell them, you know, it just takes it to a whole new level.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Fun stuff.
Those are mild compared to what you got coming up, Carl.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
It, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Okay, Miss Rachel, I think it's your turn.
Okay, well, I actually think that this is my last one of the night. But it was a really interesting segment. I'm not going to say much about it. Just listen to it. This is Gilbert Gottfried being interviewed by Joe Rogan. And let me just say, I don't care how you feel about Joe Rogan's views on things or anything like that. He really is a great interviewer. He has a way of opening up guests and making them feel comfortable. And they just tell him all kinds of the greatest shit. So Joe Rogan and Gilbert Gottfried.
And here we go. Yep.
The Joe Rogan Experience.
One time I was getting on a plane, and a few aisles down from me, I saw George Carlin. And, well, he was a few aisles ahead of me. And I'd never met him before, so I didn't want to bother him. And I sat down, and then he gets up from his chair, and he looks at me and is walking toward me, and I got so excited. I thought, George Carlin, he wants to talk to me. And he comes over to me and he says, I got to work on some stuff. I'm writing. I got to read something, and then I'm going to take a nap so I can talk to you. And he walked. It was like basically he went out of his way to tell me to go fuck myself.
Wasn't he just being courteous? Because
yeah,
otherwise he would have said, I would talk to you.
Yes.
Yeah.
But when it was getting near the end of the flight, when they announced that we're going to be descending soon, he came over to me again, and he scribbled his phone number down on a piece of paper, and he said to me, next time you're appearing on TV, I want you to call me and tell me, because I want to see what's going on in that brain of yours. and that was like, holy fuck.
Yeah, I saw him perform live a few times. I saw him perform live in New Hampshire when I was like 21 in like 1988. I saw him there, and yeah, I saw him at the Comedy Store later, and I ran into him once at the Comedy Store, and he was so unassuming.
Yes.
He just walked by, said hi to everybody, hello, like real friendly, easy,
yeah,
and just was there to do his work, and super nice guy.
And the funny thing is, I had, you know, George Carlin's number, which, and I thought, that was like a tremendous thrill. George Carlin's a fan. I thought, this is unbelievable. I also met Jonathan Winters, and he gave me his phone number. And I didn't call either one of them because I've had those. You know what it's like? A couple of celebrities who've given me their numbers. It's like, you know, we meet and they're my best friend in the whole world. We hit it off like lifelong pals. And then you call them and you go, hi, it's Gilbert. Oh, hello.
It wore off.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's kind of, to me, it's like when you meet a girl and you get her phone number, and she's like, oh, here's my number. Don't lose this. And here's if I'm not at this number, here's my other number. Please call me. All excited. And then you call them up and you go, hi, you know, remember we met at Joe's party? And it's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think some celebrities just get exhausted by people wanting things from them. You
oh,
know?
I'm sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, just constantly, someone thinks that they can get further up the show business ladder just by being friends
yes.
with you, being around you. That's why when they act normal, it's so refreshing.
Well, it's like when people come up to me and say, could you give me some advice or some pointers? I always feel like underneath it is like, can you, like, press that button that makes me a star?
Can you help me? Yeah.
Yes.
Can you give me a lift up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Like, no one can do that.
It's like, I think they'll look at you when you're known, and they'll think, oh, you know, somebody sprinkled some dust on you, magic dust, and you immediately became known.
And you'll be able to tell me how I can do that.
Yes, yes, where I can get this dust from, and I'll sprinkle on myself.
Yeah, well, I think people are just looking for shortcuts all the time, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's also one of the reasons why celebrities are a little standoffish with even when they meet other celebrities, you know, I think they just get... But then sometimes they feel like those are the only people that they know, that they can talk to.
Like, I feel like, who can the cast of Friends talk to?
Right, right. They're all oddly famous.
Yeah.
In a weird way. One of the weirdest celebrity encounters I ever had was Robin Williams. Came to one of my shows by himself.
Yeah.
And I didn't know it was him until a few minutes into talking to him. He had a big crazy beard.
Oh, okay.
And a baseball hat on. And I'm talking to, I was doing like this little meet and greet after the show, and I'm just talking to this guy.
Yeah.
And he's like, I really like that bit. I really love this. I loved how you did this and that. And then I'm in the middle of talking to him. I'm like, holy shit, this is Robin Williams.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't realize it until like a couple minutes into talking to him. I just was talking to him like he was just a regular guy. And he acted like a regular guy.
Oh, yeah. There were a couple of times at those clubs. He would pop into those clubs all the time. And there were a few times he called me up on stage with him to riff with him, which was great. And what I remember most about him, I was at the Improv, and I wasn't known at the time. I mean, I was known to the comics and everything like that. And I guess he had seen me a few times there. And so I'm getting ready. They're just about to introduce me. And then the door opens up and Robin comes in. So, of course, they go, Robin, you're on Gilbert, go away. And Robin, you're on next. And Robin said to them, he goes, I have a few people in the audience to see me, and I'd like them to see Gilbert first.
Wow.
And that always stuck with me.
That's so nice of him.
Yeah. Yeah, great clip, Rachel. Great clip.
Thank you for that one. And I know it's a really long one. It really shows him in the later years as he's more comfortable being not Gilbert Gottfried, but himself. Mm-hmm. Because, again, I had to watch the whole video to make sure, but that's him the whole time. And, of course, it doesn't sound like him. Or what you're used to him sounding like. But, you know, I've listened to him for so much, for so many years, that I kind of recognize, you know, some of his intonations and things. And I was like, that really is the same dude. And if you're watching the video, it's very definitively him, because not only does he have a weird voice, he's weird looking. Yeah, it's definitely him, but that's one of the things most respectable about him is he kept his entire actual life, including what he actually sounded like and everything, completely private from the world. Mm-hmm. You know, his acting persona was literally just that. It was just a persona, and I love that.
Yeah, it's a great clip. What did you think, TC?
Yeah, and I absolutely agree with everything you just said about him. And it was a good insight on, you know, I mean, Gilbert Gottfried. Not the guy we're used to, but the guy that the actual human being. And that was a good clip. I liked that.
Thank you.
Very much so. Very much so. So I guess it's my turn, and we should address the elephant in the room. And the elephant in the room is the aristocrats. Okay? No, seriously, we've got to play a clip. Now, this is not the joke, But this is comes from the documentary. It was a special feature on the documentary, and it's a bunch of people, including Ross, and you'll hear Chuck McCann. You'll hear a number of people, even Phyllis Diller, on this, talking about what happened at this roast with Hugh Hefner. And basically, the basic story is it's a couple weeks after 9/11, and everyone's discussing what's going on and what they should do, and Gilbert gets up there and tells a very inappropriate joke and loses the audience. And then this happened. So this is a bunch of comedians talking about what happened that night.
This covering is, the Friars roast. And this year I wrote about Gilbert Gottfried's take on the aristocrats.
Gilbert Gottfried did it at the Hugh Hefner roast. It was the funniest fucking joke ever.
This roast was happening not even 3 weeks after September 11th. So there was a big discussion about what was right in terms of taste.
There hadn't been any comedy in New York. It was very fresh. We were faced with like having to like put up a show, put on tuxedos, get Hugh Hefner and his pussy posse on a plane. It wasn't an easy sell, but we got him to do it. To his credit, we raised $500,000 for charity, for 9/11 related charities. People needed a laugh, the release.
Everybody was pulling back. Everybody was really sort of being careful.
Rob Schneider went on first. He was doing great. Then he missed a few and a couple jokes didn't work. And I ran up to the mic and I said, Rob, hasn't there been enough bombing in this city?
And here comes Gilbert, and he just went for broke. It was unbelievable.
Gilbert Gottfried took the mic, took the room over.
He said he was trying to get a direct flight to Los Angeles.
He was nervous because his plane had a connection on the way home at the Empire State Building. Like,
that was when the crowd turned. They started booing him. There's a guy in the audience shouting, too soon, too soon. The crowd was murmuring, and he said, okay.
A man, a talent agent is sitting in his office. A family walks in, man, woman, their two kids and their little dog. Their talent agent goes, what kind of an act do you do?
It was like he had made this conscious decision, okay, I can't push the envelope of taste in terms of what happened in September, so I'm going to push it in a completely different direction.
It was arguably the dirtiest roast the Friars had ever done.
The father starts fucking his wife. The wife starts jerking off the son. The son starts going down on the sister. The sister starts fingering the dog's asshole.
Just grabbed him by the throat. You know, he just attacked.
Then the son starts blowing his father. You want me to start at the beginning? If you missed any portion, I'll repeat it.
There was this weird buzz that came. And you could see the guys up on the dais were looking at each other, and they had this look of familiarity in their eyes. They were all sort of saying, where is he going to take this thing?
Then the daughter starts licking out the father's asshole. Then the father shits on the floor. The mother shits on the floor. The dog pisses and shits on the floor. They all jump down into the shit and piss and come. And they start fucking and sucking each other. And then they take a bow. And the talent agent says, I'll wait till you're ready.
I am sitting at a table of all comics. We're on the floor.
They might have to clean this up for TV.
I was laughing because he just was going so big with it, which I can't imagine Gilbert Gottfried doing.
It was probably one of the best single tellings of a joke I've ever heard.
Now, where was I? Oh, yes. The son is licking out his father's asshole.
I almost died because I couldn't catch my breath laughing.
They fucking suck each other and they take a bow. And the talent agent, did you miss any portion of this? The talent agent says, well, that's an interesting act, which is kind of an understatement.
The laugh was so deep and cathartic that it was like people were coughing up pieces of lung. Just, it was amazing. And a lot of these people who are watching him are up on the dais, they're all in comedy. And it was as if he had united everybody in that one moment, because he told something that they all knew and they all had some sort of handle on it. And he just focused it and did it. He clearly had impressed a lot of people in the room.
Now!
He pulled this thing out and did it so well. And with such fearlessness.
I hate to end this on a really sentimental note.
There was a sound in the audience that you really knew that there was something was happening here that was outside my grasp and, you know, anyone else who wasn't a total comedy veteran.
Again, not a great joke so far as I'm concerned. On the other hand, hear Gilbert Gottfried tell a joke like that, it's a Picasso.
The joke I didn't care about anymore. I just wanted to see how far he would take it and when he would not stop saying fucking and sucking and fucking. And
watching him go through his apoplectic, rhythmic incantation of the whole thing sort of takes over. The fact that he's saying these particular words almost doesn't matter.
He said that, what do you call yourself? And they go, the aristocrats.
Oh!
But see, it's just a joke.
Help!
It's as shocking as the first time you heard it, isn't it?
Don't touch me.
Is that the joke that you remember?
Well, I didn't hear it that way. This is so much worse.
Real Cowboys customize and save with Liberty Mutual.
Hey, Cap, can someone else get a turn?
Covering the Friars Roast, and this year I wrote...
And there we go. Sorry about that. I forgot that there was that little liberty at the end. Oh, wow.
I got to teach you how to edit.
So,
what... Well, like...
You know, I mean, seriously, when you talk about this joke and what he did, it's like he cut through everything to unite everyone in that room. All the comedy people in that. And after that, it was okay to talk about.
Yeah.
Right?
He opened
that
door.
He's the one that broke that whole curtain of respectability. Yeah. And he did it for a reason. Okay? And that's the important thing to understand about Gilbert. I mean, if that's the only thing he ever did in comedy, he did so much good with that, even though it's so offensive.
Nobody,
but nonetheless,
nobody was
there's so much
laugh,
more that he's done, which we've talked about this whole time. I mean, seriously. Anyway, I'm done.
Nobody was allowed to laugh at that point. In fact, that they even had that roast that soon. You know, they were even like they were talking about canceling it, and everybody is in such a somber mood. We just lost 3,000 people through a terrorist act. And, you know, and the too soon thing, yeah. But like Jimmy Kimmel said, you know, like the first 6 minutes of the joke, everybody's kind of stunned. But the last 6 minutes, because he dragged it out so much, he had everybody howling. And everybody needed that. And that inspired all those comedians that were in the crowd. And all the actors and all the celebrities, that let them loosen their collars a little. Like, okay, we had this tragedy, but it's still okay for us to laugh in everyday life. So he was almost a hero for doing
that. He was a hero. I would say he was a hero then. At that particular point in time, he was a hero.
Absolutely, dude.
Yep. Oh, hey, welcome to overtime, everybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Here
English
we are again.
That English bitch was counting down on my headphone. 60 seconds. Then down to 10 seconds. Shut up, bitch. We're still on. We're rolling. So,
all right. Well,
I
don't have a... You what?
Yeah, you already won.
You got one more?
No, I do.
No,
you got one more, don't you, Tom?
Yeah, I absolutely do.
Okay.
And it's my turn
anyway.
So
let's go there.
Okay, you know, I mean, we've touched on so much about what he's done. Stand-up, his comedy, telling old jokes, his controversy, what he's like in real life and everything. But the key to Gilbert Gottfried with me, and this is why I saved it to last, is how spontaneous he can be. And there is no other example as good as this one. He was on a show, and screw me for not remembering. It was a stand-up show where the comedians went on. It was Without a Net, I think it was called. Anybody remember that?
Yeah.
It was a show. I think it was called Without a Net, where these comedians walk out on stage, nothing rehearsed, and all of a sudden the screen would flash up, you know, a theme, and they'd have to run with it. Okay, and Gilbert, it flashed up for him, Edison's testicles experiment. That's what came up on the screen. Now, a lot of comedians go, what the fuck is this? You know, what am I going to do for 3 minutes of this? Let's listen to what Gilbert Gottfried did with, not knowing, no preparation, Edison's testicles experiment. Go ahead, Carl.
Got it.
Please, save it for later in the set when I really need it.
We need volume again.
I don't want you to weigh yourself out now, and then later when I'm really bombing and I can use it, you're not going to be around. You know, everyone nowadays talks about Thomas Edison's testicle experiment. That's where he used to be able to light his testicles up. And that was the original light bulb. He originally just shoved an electrical wire up his ass, and his testicles lit up. Which was fine for a while, but when you're trying to read and his testicles... It becomes very distracting when Thomas Edison is there with his pants around his ankles, standing on a chair over your shoulder, and his testicles are waving back and forth, and you're like, could you move back a little? I really don't need that much light. To read Crime and Punishment without a constant tapping on the back of my head. But, you know, he actually got that idea from Alexander Graham Bell. Because that was the original telephone. And that was the old-style phone where you hold one testicle to your ear and the other testicle to your mouth. And a lot of times you'd get a hair in your teeth after the phone. Which sometimes when I'm talking on a regular phone, I get pubic hairs in my teeth. I don't know why this is.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah, I found that clip, and I was rolling when I watched it. But that's a genius right there.
Absolutely.
What'd you think,
Absolutely.
Rachel?
Absolutely.
Wow. I've learned so much more about Gilbert Gottfried since he died, even though I was a huge fan of his to begin with.
Yeah.
I didn't realize, I said this earlier, I did not realize how fucking dirty he was. Wow!
But just,
yep.
Just to pull that off the top of your head, you know? Edison's testicles experiment. And that's probably, you know, gave everybody else on the show some generic thing to talk about. They're like, let's see what Gilbert comes up with this one. Knowing Gilbert Gottfried, knowing you throw Edison's testicle experiment out at him, he's going to rip it up.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
100% love it.
Wow.
Only he was able to do that.
You know, I tried to do some stand-up many, many, many years ago when I was in my 20s. And I wasn't able to do it. But you throw me something like that, I wouldn't know what the fuck to do with that.
Yeah, where are you going to roll with that one?
Yeah, seriously.
You know? The common person couldn't be funnier than the title. The title is set. Okay, there it is. All right, thank you. Good night. But no, not Gilbert Gottfried. And I love that we were able to tonight point out the many facets of Gilbert Gottfried. You know, I mean, where he's not just, because a lot of people might be just familiar with him in one you know role or one look. You know, where we ran the gamet with him. And there's probably a lot we missed.
Definitely a lot. There's actually, I want to go ahead, and this is one that we missed. I don't think this one was played earlier. Did we play the Jesus Christ joke?
No, we didn't.
No, we did not.
Okay. Well,
Jesus Christ, we got to hear that one.
Holy shit, yes we do. Okay, so one of my favorites of his that I did not choose because I thought you fuckers would, because it's one of his oldest jokes. So, I was talking to Jesus Christ the other day. And he said he's got a big date for the next night.
Okay.
I seriously thought I told you guys this joke earlier.
So
Gottfried says, I was talking to Jesus Christ the other day, and he's like, hey, man, I've got a big date tomorrow night. And he was, Gottfried says, oh, man, do you think you're going to score with her? And he says, oh, yeah, she'll nail anything that's not nailed down.
Oh!
Too soon.
No, not too
actually,
soon. Actually,
I believe the punchline was, she'll fuck anything that's not nailed down.
Yeah.
Perfect. I mean, that was the thing that was at the end of his Moby Dick rant. Like, he goes off about Canada and maple syrup and then Moby Dick, and then he does this Jerry Seinfeld as Hamlet that's fucking hilarious, and he ends with the Jesus Christ joke. And I'm like, oh, my God, how did I not realize that this guy was one of the, like, dirtiest, most hilarious comics of all time.
You know, I am sad that he died, but I had some of the most fun this week because of his death, looking up all these clips and stuff and laughing my balls off, you know?
Oh,
I'm sorry it took his death for me to really dive into his career. But I'm glad I did, you know, and it's been a great show.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and he's got so many more jokes like that, you know, throughout this week, especially when I've been looking up stuff, and that's why I'm sorry, guys, I got stuff in so late because I was looking into so much, and I kept checking back to see what you guys had put in to make sure that I wasn't duplicating stuff, but oh, my Lord, it was so hard, even with my limited selection, to choose anything to do with him because it's all fucking hilarious.
Hey, how about the jokes we didn't put on here because we thought they were too offensive?
Thank you. That was the other part. I was getting there like, oh, my God.
Yeah. the things that didn't make this show. You know, we had to keep it PG.
Well, it wasn't PG, okay? It was definitely R. But, you know, like the Aristocrats, I didn't run the joke. Because
no.
Part of it is watching him and watching the audience.
Yeah,
okay?
Again, with the physical comedy.
So I thought that particular part of it was better with all the comedians talking about the joke and what
sure.
it meant.
Yeah, and anybody can look up the joke. Yeah, I mean, it's he basically
right.
told it. I mean, you heard the gist, you heard the punchline, so... But,
yeah.
Boy, I had a lot of fun on this show.
I mean, isn't it even featured in the movie?
The documentary?
Oh, yeah. The whole thing is in the movie. Absolutely.
Yeah.
The whole 12-minute bit is in the movie.
All right, guys.
You know, and well, we're going to, before we do anything, we're going to do a little bit of housekeeping. There's not a lot going on this week so far. But some things are happening. I can tell you that I'm working with Kenan Walker to be on, hopefully by next week, if not the first week of May. Kenan is the duck master at the Peabody. He just finished a film. He's got a possible TV series coming up, and he was also on To Tell the Truth.
He's the duck master at Peabody.
Wow.
He's so awesome.
I like ducks.
Mm-hmm.
I want to teach him to talk like Gilbert Gottfried.
Yeah.
Oh, no. He is one of the most wonderful, sweetest people in the whole world. And we are so happy going to be talking with us here soon about his newest movie that he actually has a starring role in. We've talked to him a lot about his, you know, commercial career and his, you know, kind of supporting character roles in a lot of movies recently. He's very, very dear friends with the Arquette family in Hollywood, and is doing a lot of work with David and Patricia. And so we're super stoked that he's going to come talk to us, because not only does he do this amazing acting stuff, but his day job is the duck master at the Peabody Hotel. So how is that not the coolest guy you've ever heard of in your life?
Yeah, you sent
seriously.
Me one of you sent me a video of him, you know, ducking around.
I think that was Rach. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was me. Yeah. Oh, man.
Cool. Okay.
Such a cool guy. And so, yeah, not only is he the duck master, he is a ducking great actor. So we're super stoked
yeah.
to have him coming up on the show soon.
Don't
okay.
duck and miss it.
Go ahead, PC. Sorry.
I said don't ducking miss it.
Yeah, absolutely. So also, on Tuesday, we also lost a Broadway actor. He was in a number of films. By the name of Robert Morris, most people would know him from Mad Men. He played the elder statesman of the ad agency. But Robert Morris, I know him from the 60s, from things like Oh Mama, Oh Mama, Dad's Hung in the Closet and I'm Feeling So Sad. He was also in How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. He was in several Broadway shows. But we are doing a movie of his as a commentary watch. Rachel's going to be with me along with Josh Buckland. That movie is The Loved One. It comes from 1965. And when it came out, it was advertised as the movie to offend everyone. And trust me, they're not joking for 1965. Trust me. It has a great cast with Jonathan Winters, Milton Berle, Antoinette Comer, Liberace as a casket salesman. And Rod Steiger's in it. Yeah, yeah, it's something, let me tell you. And then on Friday, Adam is going to be doing the cathode ray mission, and that is how has television evolved. Also, this week is somewhat lax in shows because I'm up to go down to Trauma Studios, hopefully sometime this week, as soon as Lloyd Kaufman is out of COVID restrictions.
Lloyd? Hey, buddy.
And we'll be, he's invited me down for a meet and greet and also a tour, and we're probably going to go out to lunch or something like that. So that's going to be hopefully Wednesday or Thursday. I don't know yet. I'll talk to his admin on Monday and see what's going on with Lloyd. But that's why we're a little lax in shows this week. But we have other things upcoming.
Nothing going on tomorrow night, Carl, that you know of? Anything?
Well, yeah,
anything
actually,
you can think,
actually there is. And I was waiting for you to say something
over.
Or to give it to you to talk about what's going on tomorrow. So, TC,
Tuesday,
what's going on tomorrow?
Tuesday and a show in May, but nothing tomorrow night, Carl. You asshole.
Well,
Carl's
go
back.
Go ahead.
Okay, yes. Rochestown Radio with TC. And we touched on this with Down the Rabbit Hole before, duets. And I'm going to be featuring duets tomorrow night. But none of this Kenny Rogers, Dolly Parton, Islands in the Stream shit, or you're not going to hear any Mockingbird or anything like that. There are some a little contemporary, but you will hear Tom and Stevie. You're going to hear Ray Charles and Margie Hendrix, but you're also going to hear like Motorhead with Girls School and Meatloaf with Cher, and Dropkick Murphys will be in there. So that's my show tomorrow night, duets, and I called it don't do it. And I called it Not Your Granny's Duets. So that's 8 p.m. tomorrow night on Deviant Legion Network. And,
my grandma is dead.
Well, she took her duets with her. We moved on. So we're going to – and, Carl, I want to mention again, you know, make sure everybody knows that you can go into archives and see – so here's some. I see I had a few more hits on my Taylor Hawkins tribute that I'm still promoting. So hopefully I'll see everybody – yeah. Did you hear that, Rachel?
Yes, I did. And it is so amazing. And I will have to talk to you about that, like, personally. Like, I'm all slide up into your DMs about that Taylor Hawkins tribute. Seriously.
Okay. Yeah. Carl was kind of amazed that, you know, he died on Friday and I had that together by Sunday. So.
Yeah, no shit. Yeah,
I was
put
too.
Some work in it,
I was.
So. But it's in the episodes,
I actually,
like everything else.
I heard about it. I heard about his death while I was driving back home from Memphis. And now Memphis is my home, but at that point it was Little Rock. So, I heard about Taylor Hawkins' death, and I thought about you immediately. And then I got a text message from both you and Carl. So I was like, all right, I'm taken care of. We good. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. That's my shameless.
Well, go ahead. Finish up, TC.
No, that's just my shameless, you know, boasting about what
of course.
I do. But, and plus my YouTube channel, TCC77. There's some new videos on there from last week when I went up and saw Kansas playing Buffalo and they're 45th anniversary tour of Point of No Return. They played the whole album. So it was fantastic. And I got great video from the second row. TCC 77, YouTube. Okay.
All right, folks. Well, I think at this point we can call this a show. And I just want to say our condolences and our prayers to Gilbert and his family. To his family and fans, but he left us with quite a legacy. And that is something to be really, really proud of and to cherish.
I have
Absolutely.
A question. I have a question.
Okay.
This was our off week, so we did Carl's Cavern. So we will be back next Saturday night with Down the Rabbit Hole, I assume.
We'll see. Because
you guys did one you did one last week without me. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Your people call my people.
Yeah, we're hoping to have somebody so that we can do a commentary watch, honestly.
Huh. Okay.
But if we can't do that one particularly.
Oh, that's what you're setting up for Saturday. Oh, okay. All right, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah, we'll see, because John Killian was thinking of coming in and doing a commentary watch, but we haven't set that up yet.
Okay.
And we've got to check with John. So we'll get back to you very soon on that.
All righty.
All right, folks. I think at this point we should just say good night. And thank you very, very much for listening. And again, I want to give my thanks out to TC and to Rachel for being with us
today. This is a fun one. Yep, this was a fun one. I enjoyed it very much, and I love the material that you folks came up with. And I think we did quite well.
Absolutely. I agree.
Yes. Love you guys. This was so fun.
We love you,
too. You have a great rest of your night / weekend.
Right.
Everybody be safe. And good night.
Good night,
everyone.
People. Don't let the bed bugs bite.
Shut up, Carl.